You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details.
Hello and welcome to Dropping Spicy Ready Room episode number 10. Ready Room is a Mash Those Buttons extended podcast dedicated to a deeper look at the results from the Dropping Spicy community's feedback through weekly polls and quizzes about Apex Legends and other community topics. Today you're joined by me, Gio, the OG, and today we actually have a guest who we're kind of testing out to see if he would like to join in permanently on the podcast. We have Spry Fox. Welcome, Spry Fox.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you don't know much about Spry Fox, you're definitely going to find out because, of course, we are going to do a community spotlight with Spry Fox. But first off, we would like to welcome any first-time listeners. If you would like to become a part of the Dropping Spicy community, please join us at mash.gg/discord, where you can meet the host and fellow Apex players. I would like to credit Rifty Beats for the opening beats. Remember to go listen to him on YouTube and SoundCloud. We are recording at 10:30 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, January 14th, for release on Monday, January 18th. And today, our topics are, the first one is going to be the community spotlight with Spry Fox, who has been on other shows such as Outplayed and things like that, so we're going to learn some about him. And then lastly, our second topic is going to be the January 8th poll to the last bullet. We actually had a overwhelmingly amount of, votes or submissions this week. The internal poll actually got us 19 submissions, and then the public poll did about 20 submissions. So overall, we're getting close to that 40 mark. The ultimate goal I would like to see is 50 to 100, really, and in that range. But we're slowly getting out to more people, and I think people are starting to enjoy it. So hopefully we get to pick up some more people that way. Just some announcements. We'd first off like to just thank everybody for participating in these polls. And just want to say it's been extremely fun. We've enjoyed having your thoughts and opinions and things like that being sent to us. And I'm sorry for anybody who I offended by not knowing who Daredevil's name was. First off, I don't even really like Daredevil. Sorry. I just don't care for that. I mean, I liked the show. It was good. I liked it, but I never really knew Murdoch or whatever was his name. So, I mean, if that discredits my ability to speak on DC, then I want you to pull out your list of whoever you like, DC or Marvel, and list all those characters off for me. And I want their names as well. So go ahead and start typing, buddy. So don't hate the player, hate the game. No, I don't know what that meant. And then remember to check out the Dropping Spicy Announcements channel in the Discord to hear about polls, tournaments, and any other event. And then also later in this week, make sure to check out the Dropping Spicy episode, the main show, because we had Alex Garner on this week. And basically, he is the one who helped create Octane's Gauntlet, Race Labs, and also helped create the Mirage Voyage, and he even did some updates on the current World's Edge map this season that you're playing on currently. So we learned a lot about him and what being a level designer at Respawn means, and what he does on a daily basis and things like that. I'm sure I wasn't a part of that interview, but Kinder and Kura definitely knocked it out of the park, and Alex was a great guest, and we can't thank you enough for being on the show. So with that, let's go ahead and move into our topic one, community spotlight with Spry Fox. Spry Fox, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of your history and things like that?
All right. Well, my name is Spry Fox. I like long walks on the beach and taking showers with my socks on. You know, I'm just looking for that special squad mate out there.
is this like a new dating show? I mean, does anybody, I mean, if you want Spry Fox, number or something like that, he's on Discord. Just message him. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Just message me. Just a little bit about me. I was born and raised in Utah. I've worked a lot of different jobs, actually, a few roommates ago, places that I lived. The roommates played a game where they tried to find out all of the places I've worked. And each time I'd drop a new one, they'd be like, oh, I never heard that one before. And they'd like keep track. It was crazy. But I played the drums. I studied psychology in college, but then found out it wasn't me kind of late in the program, which was kind of unfortunate, but I was doing well as a TN. I was loving it, I thought. And then
at least you aren't one of those people that had like, I don't know, like web, like what you are, like a web developer degree.
Yeah.
And then later found out they like psychology. And then like one of my friends, he was going like a biology degree. Great. You know, that degree is going to probably pop out some big money. Well, then he went to go get a psychology degree about 3/4 through, which extended an extra year on college, which was another set of bills he had to pay. And then he ended up working at a bank. And I was like, I contacted him. I was like, well, why aren't you doing something with psychology? He was like, because you really need a master's degree to get anywhere with psychology or a PhD. And I was like, so all those years? And he was like, partying and having fun, brother. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. No. Master's degree is kind of like you're in now. You're kind of in. And a doctorate is more like, okay, now you're more comfortable and can kind of, you know, specialize, really do what you want. And so just something that wasn't for me. I was glad I had it because it comes in handy in a lot of situations, you know, because no matter where you go, you're dealing with people, and that's psychology. So, but now I work as a web developer.
So how do you enjoy your web developer job? Do you find it enticing and super smart and stuff? Web developers are smart.
Yeah, I love it. I love the code. Just sit me down in code and I can just code for hours. Love it. And you feel like the thing about the job that's really nice is you feel like a genius, because when you do something and you're like, okay, I want it to look like this, or I want it to have this, and it actually works, you know, you feel like you're like, all right, guys, listen, genius coming through. Okay. Just
are you one of those web developers? Cause I know when I worked in the school system and I went back to the IT section, they had like their line of code up on their like 32 inch screen. And then they had their little iPad sitting there with like Dota playing on the side or League of Legends. And I was like, are you really working? He was like, well, every time there's a kill, I turn and I do some code. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. So I know a lot. I know it kind of goes hand in hand, you know, nerdy developer, because I'm a nerd with my GIS degree, but nerdy developers and watching video games at the same time, it works out. So,
yeah. Well, at my job, I get to, I don't really play any games, but I do get to listen. I can just listen to basically whatever. So I listen to tons of podcasts, lots of music, and I just pound through it sometimes on 2x speed if I really want to get through a lot of content or whatever. So,
oh, yeah, you'd have to do that with our last episode.
No,
but while we continue on to your gaming history, why don't you give us a little bit of that?
Okay, so my gaming history is pretty extensive. I mean, I started back in the NES, and I even played Atari. My friend, good friend of mine, played Atari, and we go over to his house and play a lot. And so, it started way back when. And so kind of going through the consoles, I went through NES, SNES, 64, Nintendo 64, and then that's when I went to Xbox 360, and now Xbox One, and lots of PC games all in between.
And did you ever play like Sega Genesis or anything like that?
Yeah. I had my neighbor, he had the Sega, and I thought Sonic was just the coolest thing. And he would play Sonic and I'd play Tails, and I was not even mad about it. I was like, this is awesome. Like, he and I just running through the map. This is great.
I don't know. I'm always interested. Nobody ever mentions GameCube, because GameCube was like one of the best consoles.
Yeah. When I was at college, I was with my cousin and he had a GameCube. And so we played a lot of that, but I don't really count it because it wasn't mine. But he played, you know, we played Wind Waker, and we played, you know, Guitar Hero and all that stuff, and
Smash Bros and stuff. That was always good. And so what games did you play on these consoles?
So kind of going through the history, there's some that I've played so many, I can't list them all, but some that were like notable was for the SNES, I played Tetris Attack, and I'm convinced I was probably, if they had like a world ranking, I was probably top 10. I was good at that game, but they had no, you know, it was just split screen. You couldn't really go online or anything. But Tetris Attack, GoldenEye, StarCraft, all the Halo games, Battlefield, since Battlefield 3 or Bad Company 2.
Wow. Yeah.
Played those and just tons of others, mainly shooters, lots of shooters. With yeah. Halo CE, on the night that Halo 2 got launched, we had a countywide, the Game Crazy at the time, next to the Hollywood Video. This is to let you know how long ago it was. we had a countywide tournament, and I won.
Holy crap.
So I was best Hell in my yeah. county. It was awesome. I got a free copy of Halo 2, the collector's edition. It was great. And then in Battlefield 4, I rose to 6 in the world for most kills with the Phantom Bow. I don't know if people remember that, but I love that bow.
That's dope, man. Well, I'm glad you have extensive knowledge of gaming. I don't really think I have what you would probably have, because I just did. I mean, I played like the normal like douchebag games growing up, like Grand Theft Auto and Madden and
Mortal Kombat.
You know, Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter was not. It's not too much of a douchebag. It's actually pretty cool. But you know, I'm kind of one of those kids that was like, I was on the football team and whatever the football team players liked. I liked kind of crap stuff like that, but I remember Blitz, the Blitz
I played
game.
That.
That they, oh, dude, yeah. That game was nuts, bro.
Yeah,
such so much fun, so yeah. great. So, what platform do you play on now?
I play on the Xbox. For Apex, I play almost just exclusively on the Xbox. But I do play PC, but it's other games. But for Apex, it's on the Xbox, and I have a Elite controller, the Series 2, and I use the Claw. I don't know how many other claw users are out there. For those who don't know, the Claw is when you're holding the controller, it's advantageous to always have your thumbs on the thumbsticks. And so if you took your right thumb off to press a button, I mean, that's a time that you're not able to look around. So instead, you curl your right index finger around to hit all of the face buttons, A, B, X, Y, and so that way your right thumb can stay on. But I also use the paddles, so my fingers, my pinkies and stuff back there are also using the paddles, but the paddles I have to the D buttons. So I never have to take my thumbs off. Everything's at access, so it's great that way.
Claw users must be pretty good when it comes to things that dudes can do. So, if you're good at that, using your hands on that kind of stuff, good job there. I'm just the clickeroo at the WASD buttons, and I basically just use my mouse side keys to do everything I need to do on Apex, from sliding to healing. So, and then I aim, shoot. That's what I use my mouse keys for on my thumb button. So I literally do not push anything other than the interact button and the ultimate button on my keyboard. The only other buttons I use on my keyboard are WASD and spacebar. That's it.
Oh,
so I've just got it programmed that way to where I don't have to think about it, because I hate thinking while I play games.
Yeah.
And I like thinking about like movements and things like that, but I hate thinking about like buttons that I have to push. You know, why should I have to go all the way over to like the H button? You know, it doesn't make any damn sense to me. So so why did you start playing Apex and when?
So I saw Apex on the day it released, and I saw like streamers playing it and stuff. I don't really watch too many streamers, but it made such a hubbub. I was like, oh, I've got to see what's going on here. It was on Reddit and stuff. And I was looking at it, and I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. All right. And I was looking in the evening. I was like, all right. And I went to bed, and I'm sitting there in bed like, why didn't I download this? It looked cool. And so the next day I go and download it, and I've been playing it ever since.
Nice. And so what has been your favorite season so far?
Favorite season has been, I think they've gotten better with each season. You know, you can look back at season 0, like Mirage was just nothing, and how much they've improved. I think they've just gotten better over seasons, but I was definitely remember being the most hyped for season 3. I thought Crypto looked cool, new map. I was most hyped for that season.
Yeah, season 3 was one of the best, and we were brought into 2020 with that season, so that was the expectation, was you had to be as great as season 3. And so, you know, I think that's when we were brought in. We were either brought in with season 3 or season 4. But basically, after season 3, there was this expectation of what a season should look like.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that point, I don't know if they've ever really met up with that hype until season 7. So I don't think they have, especially with the characters they've released since Crypto, with Revenant, Rampart, and I forget if there's anybody else. But so which one is your favorite map so far?
So far, I like Olympus the best. It's just, King Canyon has the nostalgia, and World's Edge is like the best for ranked. It's really balanced, but Olympus is just fun. It's bright, and I like how, you know, you got the tridents and you got, I don't know. I just, yeah. This is my favorite.
Movement's great on it. And now, especially in pubs, well, before they made it, we're switching back and forth again. The extra drops from the event has made it. I mean, I think that's made Olympus even better. And yeah. Even like the town takeover as well, which we'll get into later.
Yeah.
So what's your play style? Aggressive or passive, or what would you call yourself?
So for me, it's more calculating. So I guess more on the passive side. I'm the kind of guy who I kind of live by the mantra that if you can outsmart your opponent, then killing them is just a formality.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes sense. I saw your answer to that on our notes here, and I was like, damn, he's put some thought into that. So, you know, that's pretty cool. And, you know, and a lot of it, you can mix something like calculating together with aggressive and passive and even make that choice of being, yeah. whether you're being aggressive or passive, even better, right? So yeah. I guess with that, who do you main since you're so calculating?
Okay, so I kind of have a pool of legends that I swim through, and I go between these, and an indicator of legends that are in this pool are legends that I have over 1,000 kills with each, and they are Gibraltar, Caustic, Mirage, Watson, almost 1,000 kills, Crypto, Revenant, and Rampart, with my main being Rampart.
Oh, she's gosh, great. that's gonna yeah. bring some much needed attention to her on the podcast, because yeah. I mean, you can obviously see if you've listened to any of our podcasts, we've all crapped on Rampart pretty hard. So yeah. Now do you think Rampart's in a good spot, or are you looking for a rework or buff?
Well, I think she's great. The reasons why I like her is she rewards good positioning. Well, I mean, if you're in a good position, she just further emphasizes the good spot that mm-hmm. you're in. She punishes aggression, and she can turn the fight around. I mean, if your squad mate goes down and you set up your cover, or you set up Sheila, and the enemy team rushes towards you, you're going to punish them for just recklessly coming in. And so I like that. But she does have a bug. I don't know. She had the bug in before the split where her amped cover would show up as like a transparent blue. Like, you can put it down and you go through the animation, nothing would happen. But now, after the split, when it shows up as blue, you can put it down. But it also shows up as red in many spots, places you're out in the open. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to put a thing there. So it's kind of like with this split, they've taken that a step in the right direction. But I wish it could just be placed. Her amp cover could just be placed in anywhere, and like it should.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know what could make her better other than, like, you know, maybe, you know, right now she gets that buff for, like, what, heavy weapons, I guess, or
LMGs.
LMGs. Maybe give it across the board to multiple weapons.
Yeah, Daniel Klein commented on that. He said he didn't. I mean, he said, you know, obviously if they did it for, if she had that same buff for SMGs or ARs, that'd be really strong. And so they kind of had to pick a class of guns that wasn't as popular, wasn't as strong. So that way, you know, it's, you know, because, you know, kinda she balanced, has a Spitfire or something. She's pretty good with it. Not OP, though. And so it's kind of a, you know, that's why it's that way.
Shoot. I don't know. But I mean, it's nice to have a Rampart main on the show and a part of dropping spicy. So we'll be able to rep her a little bit more here.
Yeah.
And then lastly, would you like to give any shout out to some teammates or anything like that?
Sure will. The first and foremost, the guy I play with the most is Charlie. Good old Charlie. My man. And Charlie and Just Seductive, he and I, us three, we actually want, we played, was doing their podcast. First we tournament, won their yeah. first, their, we won their first tourney. That was kind of fun. I also play a lot with Jonesing, Mudda Trucka, and Mrs. Mudda Trucka, Butt Clops, and Mad Eye Menace. And these guys,
names?
Yeah, these guys from Club Nasty. You got Dr. Nick Nasty, Nasty Nico, and a few others, Spec Op. There's, you know, the Outplayed guys, you know.
That's so you're all over the spectrum. Mudda Trucka and Miss Mudda Trucka.
Yeah, they're a couple, and it's great. It's great.
Well, definitely shout out to you guys and gals, of course, because we have a Miss Mudda Trucka here. And then definitely the Outplayed host are a bunch of great guys. Again, if you haven't listened to their content yet, first off, you need to go back and listen to the Revenant and Watson episodes. Am I correct?
Yeah, those are the two that I was on. We talked about Watson and Revenant.
Yeah, go back and listen to him on there. And then also check out all their other content, because it doesn't really matter which season we're in. Their content still relates to today. Yeah. So, you know, definitely go check them out there. And they're by no means like I wouldn't, you know, even though the podcast is gone, the Discord is still hopping. Still a bunch of people that are knowledgeable about the game. They still play the game. They're just going in a different direction. So definitely jump in there, show them some love, not only on my behalf, but Spry Fox as well. Yep. So, because Outplay guys are definitely some good guys. So I guess with that, let's move into topic two. So topic two is the community poll, which was released on January 8th, called To the Last Bullet. So basically, as we stated before, there's a scenario at the beginning. So here's the scenario. You're in the final showdown in the last team. Your one teammate is lost. No banner. There's other... I'm trying to read this like super freaking good. The other was just downed. You are facing a downed Revenant who is almost back up from a lifeline res with red armor and a lifeline with a cracked red armor. They are both in the open as you are. Less than 50 foot away, you have 25 HP armor, full health, dual prowlers with digi threats, one smoke canister, your ult is recharging, one arc star, one frag, one thermite, and 9 syringes.
And the options, a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah, you have a you basically have everything you need to win this fight. You just haven't won this fight yet. So basically, we had some options here. First off, smoke the area, termite the rev, arc star the lifeline and shoot whoever's left. Then we had smoke and push the rev with the arc star and shoot the lifeline, or smoke and push further up to the lifeline than down the rev. And the majority went to, you're going to smoke the area, you're going to thermite the rev, which I think is a very smart idea, because thermites kind of tend to go through lifeline reses, and it was a nice way to just go and knock them and full kill them rather than let them be res. And then they said, we're going to arc star the lifeline and shoot whoever is left. So, I mean, I think that sounds like a good plan, because at any point in the game where you get to use an arc star is a point you should take. You should definitely use an arc star at any time you can use an arc star. So did you have an opinion on what you should do in this situation?
I think I chose that the most popular one there, the smoke the area, thermite the rev, because Revenant, while he's being revived, he's immobile, and that thermite will just burn him, burn. And you arc star the lifeline because it takes a little bit to ready your thermite, and then it takes a little bit to do the arc star. And so that kind of gives you some breathing room to actually get in the position you want and get your gun out and all that stuff. So that's what I picked.
Yeah. And in this situation, I mean, you are faced with having a character that doesn't really help you out with this situation, because, you know, I think it's Bangalore, because they're saying smoke canister, right? So,
yeah,
you know, you can't in the final fight or whatever, or final showdown, you're not just going to smoke them while somebody's being rezzed. You're going to have to be able to see. So you would never want to smoke in that situation.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's a good question there. And I think everybody knows what to do. So, you know, and some people said smoke and push with the rev and then with Arcstar and then shoot the lifeline. So go ahead and Arcstar the rev. I mean, you could line up the Arcstar so that whenever the rev does pop back up, you could hit them. But that's a 50-50 chance on whether or not you actually have the aim to hit them with the arc star. Yeah. Whereas the thermite, you know that while they're down, it's still going to do damage to them, right? So I think we know what to do in this situation. So great scenario there, Crazy. We appreciate that. We then had another section called LTM Roundup, where we said, did you stick with or fall off the train LTM this year? We had the majority said they fell off as the LTM went along. And then the next bit said that they were off and on with the LTM. So I would say, like, for me at least, the LTM this year was really good. What really threw me for a loop was the fact of how long it took to fix the bugs that were going on, because they would honestly just piss me off and I wouldn't want to play it. But I did have a lot of nights where at the end of a gaming session or before a gaming session, we would warm up. So I would really never say I fell off of it, because we would use it in a way to either begin or end our nights. So now, whether or not, like, if you asked me if I would ever go in and just play it exclusively, no, I would not. So, you know, other than if we had a contest, kind of like what we had, or an event, then I would do that. But how do you feel about the LTM? Did you fall off or did you enjoy it?
I chose for this one, I chose off and on. I know some friends who, like, I had some buddies who were committed to it and they played it until they got all the badges and really stuck to it. I thought it was fun. It's definitely good to warm up, you know, because you just get right in. You have a gun. You don't have to worry about looting. You just get right into the action and can actually work on your aim and start warming up. They did have those bugs. Was annoying. I kind of got caught in a few. I played a lot of Rampart on that, and there were times where I'd set down, you know, amped cover, and it would just kill me. And I would just be like, okay, this is great.
So. Yeah, no, I definitely think, like, I always will think that the top three characters for that mode was Caustic, Watson, and Rampart, taking one area of the train and just holding it the entire time. Unless you had that one random character that got the box glitch and just hid in the box the entire time, won it that way. So, but I think I talked to someone that went like 40 rounds just because one of them got stuck in the box. And that was like,
oh, that'd be awful.
And the people, like, apparently just sat there trying to shoot at him. And, you know, you never can because you can't shoot at him.
The best you could do is a tie.
Yeah, you might as well just lose the game. And so they just played for like 40 something rounds. I was like, oh my God, that sounds horrible. So, and then, so I think that's enough of the LTM. We've talked about the LTM, training LTM a lot. And I think that we know it had its good parts and it had its bad parts. And we just hope that either next winter we see a improved train LTM or we see a new LTM altogether and they could bring the train back, but give us something new as well. But we'll see. We have a lot of months and time from then to then. So, but the next thing we actually asked about was the Pathfinder Town Takeover. We had three questions. First off, do you like the Pathfinder Town Takeover area? I mean, overwhelmingly 80% said yes. What bugs have you got so far since the update? We had the most bugs with slow-mo super laggy games. The next one was full crash. I've had both of those. And then the last one was no gun audio when exiting the boxing ring. I've had all three of those. And then lastly, the last question in this section was, how do you play the new takeover mode? And basically, the majority of people said care package drops 100%. They just go for the care package. Some people said they play it like regular. And then lastly, we had people that said they exclusively drop the boxing ring all day, every day, because they are going to be the next Mike Tyson. So, but nobody's allowed to bite off ears in Apex. Sorry about your luck. I mean, overall, I don't know how you feel exactly about the Pathfinder Town Takeover, but first off, aesthetically, it looks great. I mean, such a great job, but but where it does lose its interest is the no gun audio. I actually had that bug happen to me, and I didn't hear the audio in time where before she started shooting at me, and I was like, why did I just go down? And then I realized then later after I had already been dropped, I heard, and I heard my thing, how you drop. So I've heard that. And then I've crashed so much, but not with the LTN or not with that, the Pathfinder Town Takeover map, but I've crashed in ranked. Like the other day I got in three ranked games and every ranked game I crashed and had to be brought back in. But luckily their bring back in, like what they do for that, or, you know, all that, you know, what they worked on about, you know, if you ever get disconnected, bring it back in. It worked all three games, but I mean, by then it was frustrating. And one game, I got kicked out and I came back in. Both my teammates were dead, but I was still halfway across the map and alive, and they had already left. So I was like, this kind of sucks. But how are you liking the Pathfinder Town Takeover? Are you liking like the care packages, the boxing? Do you, you know, just the area? What do you think?
I'm liking the new mode. I'm liking the care packages. It gets rid of some of the RNG, because you just know that if you go there, you're going to get a gun and maybe shields, but likely definitely a gun. And so it also adds more. I think people were criticizing Olympus for not having enough loot or POIs. And so this is like a POI in itself, because you get, I mean, if your whole squad lands there, it's enough loot for everybody. And so I'm liking that change. I kind of wonder if they're going to keep it. But as for the Pathfinder Town Takeover, it's great. The thing that surprised me that I loved the most was the little announcer that's there. That was when I first walked into that and she was like, oh, we've got a contender. I was like, hey, this is cool. I like this.
No, And I think you can hear like fans cheering and things like that. I mean, overall, when you enter the area, you definitely know what it's meant. It's meant to be a boxing ring, and it's meant for you not to hang out on the outskirts, even though there's a lot of buttholes that will hang out and wait for you to exit. But it's meant for you to get in there and just start going, you know, at each other and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I definitely like it. I think it's one of the best ones that they put out so far, as far as like looks wise. The bugs kind of kill it a little bit, but overall, if they get the bugs fixed, I mean, I'd be happy because it makes for a great area on that side of the map where there's not that much, not a lot of people drop in those areas around there. So I'm cool with it. I think Docks is right outside. So not a lot of people like Docks. There's a couple of teams that will probably drop there at a time, but not me. That's not the first place everybody thinks of dropping when they drop into Olympus. So
I usually like to, since the Pathfinder timetable, I like to drop Docks and then third party into the Pathfinder, because usually by then there's still a few squads and you can just sweep in and sweep them up.
Oh yeah. And by then they would have to have had to hit all those rare loot balls, I guess you call it. I don't know what those are called, really.
Yeah, little disco ball looking things. The cargo bots hold. Yeah.
You've had to probably fight a team for that, and then you've had to open all those, and then you've had to, and those usually don't even have that great of guns in them, and then you have to loot around the area. So as long as you get drop docks, you move quickly, you could probably get the kills really quick and get on and jump on them before they can really get their stuff on.
Yeah.
But with that, why don't you take our next section called LTM ideas, and we'll just go through each one of these. And I know that Crazy's posed us some questions here about different modes, and we can just talk about each one and see how we feel.
Okay, sounds good. So these LTM ideas, we reached out to you for LTM ideas. One of them, the first question is, would you like an LTM where guns level up in arena mode? A gun game for attachments as you deal damage, your attachments go from white to purple, etc. Most people said yes. Almost 74% said yes. And yeah, I joined that. I think I said yes as well to that. I think it would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's dope. I mean, any place like you could just like, I mean, could you imagine like being in an area now, not the size of the boxing ring, but maybe in like a little area, like maybe you go into hydroponics as a general area. Mm-hmm. There's like a threshold in there. And then once you're in there, you can start shooting at people and leveling up your guns. But then when you leave that area, you have those guns already leveled up. That would be pretty cool if it's a limited time event. But, you know, I definitely like it. I don't see any problem with that. And it's something that we might see in the future. I know we've talked about it in the past of like Evo armor. Well, they make Evo guns and Evo helmets, you know, so definitely.
Yeah. The only thing I could slightly see that might be a problem is a case of the rich getting richer. I mean, if like predators drop there, I mean, they're leveling up their weapons. They're at max level while everyone else is still walking around with sticks and stones. So, but I mean, we already got Evo armor. That's kind of already the same thing. And so that's doing fine. So I don't think it would be a bad idea. I think it'd be pretty fun, at least just for an LTM, at least.
Yeah, no problem there.
So next question is, would you like a gun game mode where you level up weapons in arena mode? As you do damage with a weapon, it levels up to the next weapon level. Weapon level up the list to be a mix of several weapons with various attachments. And even more people said yes to this, 84%. And so the difference with this is this is changing your weapons, and the earlier question was about attachments. I believe that's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, any game nowadays that's normal, like I don't know, like Call of Duty or any game that has a team deathmatch style has a gun game option. And so I don't know if like I would like that as an LTM, but I would definitely like that as a mode I could opt in to play. You know, as someone new hopping in Apex, that would be really fun because then I could learn the weapons. And I know that even me still, there's some weapons I've just decided never to give a shot. You know, for instance, for me, I don't really like the Hemlock that much. Mm. But if I was forced to play it in gun game and get kills with it, maybe I could learn it a lot better. And so in a way, I think a gun game like this would help a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And also the thing about this that I like is if everyone drops in with the same guns, then there's no, I mean, because sometimes you get on the drop, you pick up a P2020, guy next to you picks up, you know, flatline R99. You're like, well, okay, there is no way I was going to win that. But if everyone's on the same ground with the same weapons, then, you know, you don't feel as bad losing because you're like, well, he was better. Or if you won, you're like, well, okay, it's just because I was better. So,
oh yeah, gun game is loved by everybody. So.
Next one is, would you like an LTM where Evo armor works in opposite No. I.e. your armor level, your armor levels up as you are shot, not as you shoot. Making a slow fighter risk, you must kill your targets before they can heal. If you poke damage, you are buffing them, and they can heal higher. This one was more even. This one was more even. 52% said no, and 47% said yes.
That's because you're always going to have those one guys that's like, why the hell not? You know, where, you know, there's just, that's just another mode I'll play on random with some people and see if I'm good at it. But I don't know what Crazy was smoking when he wrote this question. But no, Crazy. We would not like to see Evo, or at least I would. I mean, I don't know how you feel, but I don't want to, no offense, but there's already people that are good at this game, right? They're going to level up their Evo armor already. But then, like, well, I mean, okay, I get where you're coming, like, because you could, at this point, you know, if you're good, that's really a detriment to this mode because you're going to do the damage, they're going to get more shields. Well, so the bad people are going to be able to, you know, overcome maybe, but then it kind of tests the skill of the better people because they're going to eventually, they're going to have the lower shields. But how do you kill somebody? I don't know.
Yeah, this one would favor survivability. If you can survive, because each fight you get into, if you survive, you're stronger for the next fight. And then if you survive that one, you're stronger for the next fight. So that's like your plan, like overall. But when you're attacking, it needs to be a burst. You need to down them quick because, like it says, if you're pinging at someone from a distance, you know, you would just be benefiting them. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't
different way to think about it. All right, so then we asked an open-ended question. We just said, what kind of LTM would you like to see? And just gave it to you guys to just tell us what you would like. And one of them was a team deathmatch or Among Us mode.
No, Among Us can say where Among Us is at. So, but we definitely have already talked about team deathmatch on here, and the main show actually talked about this last week. So, and it looks like we're getting it based upon what Shrugtall posted and... You know, the way that they've currently got it set up, of course, that we already know is they have a small area of the map, such as artillery. You have an A and a B that spawn on each side. And then you have circles that you enclose to is some kind of like healing stuff in the middle and care packaging and all kinds of stuff in the middle. So if that's true, I mean, I'm down. I don't want it to be an LTM. I want it to be permanent. You know, I don't want, that's definitely something. But I mean, if they do make an LTM, I'm not going to, you know, moan about it, because ultimately if they say, okay, we're going to bring this as an LTM, then you're probably, they're just testing it out to be something permanent later on in the future. So, I mean, I'm not against team deathmatch, and I'm not against them using the same kind of weapons that we see in the care packages now as possible weapons for us to use during a team deathmatch. So definitely for that. I think that this game needs team deathmatch, especially with the halt on Titanfall 3.
Yeah. I'm for that as well. Just because, it would be a great warm up, because now, I mean, you play, and when you die, you have to get out of the match, or you're waiting to be revived, and then they die, and then you have to get into the next match and select your legend. There's a lot of downtime in between you playing. Well, with a death match, if you went down, you could just respawn and get right back into it, and so it'd be good way to, you know, improve your aim and, you know, warm up, all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Another mode they have was Trident Race Day. I believe the gaming merchant was involved in some races. He posted some videos of Trident races, and they looked pretty fun, especially because you could interfere with the other races. People were using abilities, and they were throwing arc stars, and they were trying to, you know, they were using jump pads to, and it looked pretty fun, little hectic little mode.
This is Apex's and Respawn's chance to make something like what the Star Wars universe did whenever they had like the normal Battlefront, and then that you had the racer one. I forget. Like, I think it was on like GameCube or something like that. It was the
pod racing.
You had pod racing the game. I don't know if you ever played it, but you know, this is the Respawn's chance to make some money, because you could put in this mode, a Trident race mode, in, and building a track can't be that hard, right? It can't be that hard. And then you charge people for the skins for the Tridents. I mean, that's a money maker right there. And people are going to pay money. If you spray paint a hot chick on the side of a Trident, people are going to pay money because they have the hot chick on the side of the Trident, right? So, you know, I'm definitely down for Trident race day. And we even attempted to do the Trident thing, but because the preview, whatever, event they had where you could preview the map. Didn't last that long. We couldn't pull it off in the time limit we had. But I definitely know there's a lot of places out there that do have Trident racing tournaments. I feel bad for jumping into a map, racing a Trident, and then probably not really playing. So I feel really bad about doing that. So I'm not gonna host an event that would do that. So
yeah. And so we had another idea. This was actually my idea. I kind of got into this. Crypto's Hackathon. Crypto just hacked into the Apex Games mainframe and has found himself in control of variables that are and are not currently part of the Apex Games. Because Crypto doesn't want any squads to have an unfair advantage, every squad will feature Crypto's drone, Hack, as the third squad mate instead of a legend. One player on each squad will take control of their squad's Hack, gaining access to new and improved abilities, such as locking doors, storing and deploying loot items, dropping squad-friendly stalkers, doing everything Hack can normally do, and mimicking the tactical abilities of Hack squad mates. These new Hack drones will have unlimited range, are slightly faster than normal, and have more health than normal, but repair their health over time when out of combat, like Octane. If your squad's Hack is destroyed, don't worry, you can still get your Hack back, Jack! Just go to a survey beacon and summon a new Hack for your squad.
I mean, that sounds cool. It sounds like something that they should do on Kings Canyon. That would make Kings Canyon pretty fun to play, especially with the big beacon. You could do like where you get like super hacks if you actually activate the big beacon or something like that.
you
could just like hack the entire map. But I definitely like your idea there. It sounds pretty fun, and it puts an interesting spin on Crypto, who's someone that's kind of lost favor or lost like playing. You know, not a lot of people are playing him in the game right now. So definitely be cool to me. I mean, I'm sure you have some thoughts on it since you're the one that created this.
Yeah, hackathon. I thought it would be cool to kind of have someone who can do a lot, but not the important stuff. So killing people, he can't just shoot someone and kill them so he does all the other. It's kind of like, because I love playing chess, big chess player. And it's kind of like if you're Hack, you're playing chess. You're like, oh, if they're going to go over here, then I'm going to put this over here. And I'm, you know, maybe he can deploy walls or something and be like, oh, if I put it here, you know, kind of like a commander, you know, he's manipulating the battlefield to, you know, for his team, you know, so he's helping indirectly in all these ways, but not actually killing them.
Oh yeah, no, I think it puts a good spin on Crypto as a character and his ability to hack and just overall, like, you know, what is this dude thinking on a daily basis? Because, you know, you could have some lore basically behind that before he like got in Apex Games and like, you know, what does Crypto do on a day-to-day basis? He hacks shit.
Yeah.
You know, things like
sure
that.
Sure does. Yeah. And so one of the other suggestions they had was gun game. We already talked about that, just improving your gun as you do well.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to move into this next section, the drama zone. These are the next questions that we asked you, got your feedback on. We're going to go over them. First one, was Imperial Hal being careless or flippant about his influence with what he says? 74% said they had no idea what they were talking about, no opinion. And 15% said yes, 10% said no. So those that did know what they were doing, it was pretty evenly split. And so what do you think? Yeah, do you have any opinions on the matter?
First off, for those who don't know what happened, let me give you some context here. Mm-hmm. So basically, I think Daniel Klein had made a post about something. I don't know exactly what it was, probably something about Apex. Well, then Imperial Hal commented on that post at like late at night, I think is what it was. And Daniel Klein woke up with like over 200 to 2,000, something like that, a crazy amount of notifications on his phone from fans of Imperial Hal, where Imperial Hal had commented on it. And then Daniel Klein hit back basically saying like, you need to be responsible with the power that you have being who you are. With Imperial Hal saying, I'm just a guy commenting on something. And he's like, well, if you don't really recognize the influence that you have on the game and whenever you comment on a dev's thing, then you just don't, you're like, you're not that smart kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, then a bunch of people hit back at Daniel. Like, I think it was Coco Puffs and a whole bunch of other people like hit back and said, you shouldn't be talking to him about this way. And you could just tell that Daniel Klein was frustrated with the situation of, you know, Imperial Hal has a bunch of followers. If Imperial Hal comments on a dev's thing, of course, everybody who favors Imperial Hal and kind of has dislike for the devs is automatically going to go and spam that same post with their shit. And it kind of like puts a lot on the dev that normally wouldn't be on the dev if somebody as popular as Imperial Howl had voiced his opinion. What do I think about it? I think that everybody has the right to voice their opinion, but I definitely do agree with Daniel in a sense as Imperial Howl, even though what he put, I think, was supposed to be kind of funny. I mean, not everybody takes what you say as funny. It's like a text message or an email sent wrong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with that power, you need to know, okay, well, I have influence not only over, you know, the devs and what they're posting, but over the game in general. So whenever you speak about the game, whether you're saying you like it right now, you don't like it, or just comment on somebody's feed, you're going to have a big influence on that. And you're going to cause a chain reaction of people that could affect, you know, people like Daniel Klein, who's already stressed, who said he's willing to talk to the community. You know, you're putting that extra stress on them just because you wanted to make a funny and comment. So I don't know how you feel. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think that overall, I think the whole back and forth between them should have been in DMs just to avoid unnecessary drama. But yeah, Howl should be able to voice his opinion. And it was about the caustic changes. Daniel Klein said that because they released the patch notes and they said that caustic, the cooldown on his gas traps went from 25 seconds to 20 seconds. Oh, yeah. And they asked him, they were tweeting him about that, asking about that. And Daniel Klein said that he came in and he said the change was pretty quick. It took 2 to 3 play tests. I think he said it took around 10 minutes and just to verify that it was there. You know, he was pretty certain about that. And then that's when Imperial Howl commented with the Michael Scott no gif. And so that's what started it, sort of a thing. And so he can voice his opinion, but to think that you're not going to influence your followers to do the same, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, like, and that's where, you know, devs have to be able to make these changes. And I think, like, the problem with this one is I know that Respawn has talked about before where they've done some silent changes. And maybe this should have been a silent change to see how if people would react. And then then they say, OK, well, that was a bug or something. And, like, you know, like, you know, totally say, well, oh,
I think, yeah, I think if they went silent, it would be quite the someone would have noticed. And that would have been like, oh, why did you this is a big change. Why did you put this?
But in reality, no one's really playing caustic right now. So I get like it kind of well, actually, more people are playing him because of that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't really think that I don't know. The bigger thing is where caustic's like traps are left after he's dead. Like they've already fixed that. I believe that's more to me than the 5 seconds on his thing. So I don't know.
Yeah. So overall, not a big thing, but, and I can see from Howl's perspective that it makes it seem because this change went seem so fast. It could seem like it was impulsive, but you know, the game isn't successful for nothing. Daniel, he takes his time and he makes sure that the changes are needed and he has access to data we don't. And so I think I'm confident in Daniel that he doesn't make these changes on a whim, but overall, just cool heads prevail. It's only 5 seconds. So the next one is dealing with the same streamer, Imperial Howl. Do you think Imperial Howl getting swatted was a result of this debacle or just a coincidence? And do not swat people. Okay. For those who don't know, swatted is streamers. People can find out the information from streamers where they are, their address, and they call the local police station and make up a story about they're dangerous or, you know, something to get the police to show up at their door armed, thinking that they're going to have a confrontation. And they just come in and they were just streaming. They weren't doing anything. And so 58% said that they don't know what any of it means. 26% said it's coincidence. 16% said that it was a result of it. I personally don't think it was a result. Definitely not Daniel Klein himself. I mean, it could have been some kid out there who really, you know, didn't like that what Howl said and did this. But if it was, calm down. I mean, it's 5 seconds. Sending a police perp people to someone's house under the guise of them being dangerous for a 5 second cooldown nerf on cot. Like, come on, people.
I think I'm in the ballpark with it was just coincidence and it just happened because he wasn't the only one getting swatted around this time. So, you know, it's been a chain reaction lately, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And those changes to caustic didn't go through anyways. I think most everyone knows, but they didn't end up happening anyways. And so, Yeah. It's just a big, it's just a shame. But
just don't swap people.
Yeah. So the next question, are the Respawn employees unfairly criticized for being tired of people giving them hell for everything they do? 74% said yes, 26% said no. So most people agree that, you know, if the devs are getting criticized, you know, they're people too. They don't really, I mean, if you were getting criticized, you wouldn't like it too.
No, and, yeah.
And on this note, I think it's great that when developers are transparent about their games, they're willing to just tell you the real deal, what's going on, you know, kind of get a peek behind the curtain. I love this. And when this happens, we should encourage it by voicing our support. And if you do have criticism, if they have a change, if they let you see what's going on and you have criticism, maybe check to see if it's already been said or at least be constructive. You know, these are people too on both ends here. This isn't, I think, us being anonymous on online, you know, we can just say this stuff and no one comes to our door or anything. It's, we can be a little harsh, but let's think it through and be a little nicer.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I think it's not only important that they're transparent about their games, but also transparent about times when they're stressed too, because
yeah.
I think they have to do it right. Like I think it was like Jay Frechette or one of those that called somebody a dick or something. Like that's mm-hmm. not how they should do it right, of course. But they could be transparent and say, okay, look, we're going to be a little silent here for a while because we've been getting a lot of hate mail and things like that. You know, if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do it this way. And maybe then we would see less people on Reddit, less devs on Reddit commenting. But of course we like that. But, you know, someone like Daniel Klein, he's decided I'm going to be out the forefront of this and he's taking on a lot of that hate. So for, you know, like we said before with Imperial Hell, you know, don't go like constantly like, you know, telling them how bad their game is. You know, and like you said, if it's already been said on Reddit, you don't have to be that 1 millionth person that commented on the same thread saying, yeah, this is the reason I don't play anymore or anything like that. They already know that it's been said. So just don't mm-hmm. be that guy that's going to show hate, you know. So I don't yeah. know.
They work hard on the game, and so they have a lot invested in it. And when people, you know, it's kind of like if you were an artist and you had a wrote poetry or you drew something and you showed someone, you're kind of vulnerable. You're like, hey, is this, what do you think? And you know, they can be, they're humans. Everyone's human. And so we need to just be better there.
Yeah.
So the next question, do you think the streamer community complains too much or do their complaints just get more publication? 37% said they're too whiny. 26% said they just get talked about more and their input is reposted. 21% said they make valid points. 16% said exploitative, intentionally drumming up drama for traffic or relevance. What do you think?
You have people that do you know, get drama started, like Jay Miles. I think of him, and I'm even in his Discord. I like the kid. I think he makes good content, but like every time you see a post from him on YouTube, it's like the Apex devs respond this way and everybody's mad or something like that. I'm just like, it's basically, you can tell by a stream or anything based upon the title of their video, whether or not you should even watch it, you know. There's a point where you just start saying he says the same thing in his videos every time. We're taking a stab at the devs. The pros are not happy. Just don't watch it. Right. And because like you're just going to feed into it. And then, you know, of course, what a lot of people do, even in our Discord, they'll go watch it and then they'll post it in our Discord. So then everybody else starts talking about it. Right. And then everybody else wants to start posting about it and things like that. And in reality, there are a lot of streamers that are whiny. Right. There are. But I think that just like anybody else that really dedicates their time to this game, such as devs, streamers also dedicate their time to this game. And they're also looking out for people and wanting the game to be just the best it can be. And so, and what Respawn's done is they've given them a good opportunity to voice their opinions. I know like Nicewig talked about where they went and had meetings with Respawn and threw their opinion, right? So, but I think there are a lot of times where, you know, you had your chance to voice your opinion at those meetings. And then, you know, Respawn might bring out the next season. You're saying it's crap again. So, you know, how many meetings does Respawn have to have with streamers before streamers are going to be like, well, we actually like this game, right? So I don't know. That's just how I feel. But I don't really pay attention to the whining. I just pay attention to the fact that they kill people and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Yep.
So I guess with that, let's go ahead and move on to our final section, general story here. We'll just move through these pretty quickly because we've touched on some of them before. So the first one, should a hot dog be considered a sandwich? The majority of you who are wrong said no. I see that you've typed some stuff on this. So why don't you just give us a quick rundown of what you've got to think about this?
Yeah. Okay. So A hot dog is to a sandwich as a truck is to a vehicle. Yeah, I think you can get away with calling a hot dog a sandwich because it's two pieces of bread with ingredients in between. However, we don't go around calling everything we see thing. You know, specificity matters. You got to call the thing its name, you know, and so could it be considered? Sure, but should you call it a sandwich? No.
Just call it a hot dog.
Yeah, call it a hot dog.
Yeah, or a wiener. If you really, if you're a kinder, you can call it that. So, yeah. I guess 68% of you are wrong. It's actually yes. The answer to that question is yes, and we'll just move on from there. Geo is always right, right? That's what Adam Baum said, right? If you listen to his interview, you'll understand what I'm saying there. Then we asked, what is your favorite streamer? So we had Shiv as one is the top one, and I don't know really why, because I like Shiv. I think he's a really good player, but he's really not that interesting to watch. He's like one of those guys that just kind of plays and like that's it. He just really plays and then he'll react a little bit, but he's not like, I'm gonna give away this, this, and this. I'm gonna now his computer. I don't know if you've seen his computer, like the I think it's like a bin opening, it's got the Apex symbol on it. If you ever get a chance to go watch his stream just to see his computer, the Apex Steam computer, that looks dope. And then we had Don't Watch. I have no idea who that is. Do you know who that is?
I don't know. It must be some kind of meta person who you're going to watch. I'm going to watch Don't Watch.
Yeah. And then you have Daltouche. I mean, that dude's just a madman on Apex. Mm-hmm. I don't know why somebody put Kinder. Something's wrong with you.
Who?
Somebody put Kinder as the streamer.
Oh, yeah. He's a streamer?
Who is that? We had Rex Strider. So Rex Strider is actually a really good guy. If you haven't played with him, you should definitely play with him. He's in our place, Discord. Sora Kobe, Stone Mountain 64. Somebody said mash those buttons. Like when we stream, a lot of people said Shroud, mm-hmm. Chicken Man, Sweet Dreams, So Far, Human Streamers, and then Sprawfox, who'd you put down for this one?
I put down the Gaming Merchant. I just think he's a good old English gent when he plays. You know, he's going along and he's shredding, you know, and then someone will just kill him mercilessly or get a headshot and he'll just, oh dear, you know, and he'll just, and he's just so polite and nice and he's really good and he's really thoughtful about the game. That's what I like. He's a thinker. And he's a Rampart main, so.
Oh, yeah. No, he is really good with Rampart. Really good with Rampart. I think for me, I like Lulu Lovely. I like TSM Vis. I like Staycation. And really, I guess that's really the only guys and gals I'll watch. I'll watch, I forget her name. She's this new girl on Twitch. She's African-American. She represents the African-American community pretty well. And she streams, and I mean, she's kind of found some followings there, and it's really interesting to watch her, and she's pretty fun to watch. She's pretty great. So, and also if you ever want to know anybody that streams in our Discord, I actually have a list of every stream, of most of our streamers in our Discord. So if you want to just hit me up and I'll send you that list so that you can go and follow them. I'm sure they would enjoy the follow, and then you can also just tune in whenever they stream. What season of Apex did you like the most? And I'm just going to say the overwhelming vote here went to season 7. And surprisingly, season 3 got beat out by 5 and 6, which I think were some of the worst seasons. Not necessarily worst seasons, but some of not the like most pleasant for me, at least, this year. But season 7 wins on that one. And I think that's just because Olympus came and also Horizon being the new meta character was released. And since a lot of people like her kit, that might be why that is a thing. And then lastly, we have two more. If you haven't played Apex in a while, why? Someone put no teammates, life balance. I'm not playing less. I just have better games. So there you go. Take a stab at them. Somebody just put Mastiff. And basically just a lot of people said the bugs are like, yeah, I mean the bugs have gotten pretty bad this new update. So I understand that once the bugs are ironed out, we'll probably see a couple of people returning to the game. But you know, I know for me at least, my work-life balance right now with my wife getting a new job has, you know, severely decreased the amount of time I play Apex. So, you know, with that, so are you playing Apex just as much as you usually do? Or have you took a backside or slid from it or anything like that?
Yeah, I've been playing it, you know, pretty regularly. I did for Christmas get some video games. I've been playing those. The one I'm doing now is Hollow Knight. I got that for the Switch, and so I've been playing that. But I'll hop on to Apex, you know, a couple times a week at least. But when I'm done with Hollow Knight, I'll probably be like full swing back to Apex. But
yeah. I mean, right now Apex is really the only game I play. But it's more about the time I have to play and not necessarily that I don't want to play it as much. And It's not really that I've really backed off the game. It's just that I can't play a lot lately because I'm watching my kids, which is something I wasn't used to till 9 o'clock most nights. And I am dead tired by the time I get done. And then lastly, the last question we'll cover today is, what do you think about a quit penalty for normal matches? The 52% of you said yes and 47% of you said no. So what are your thoughts on this this quit penalty?
I generally support quit penalties because when it comes to a team-based game, you're relying on your team. And I think it's everyone would agree that when you're winning, you're having fun. And When your team quits, that lowers your chances of winning, which also lowers your fun. And so, yeah, I generally support it, and that's actually the reason I play solo a lot. But if anyone out there wants to play, great. I solo rank a lot. Right now I'm in Platinum 3-2.
Oh, man, I'm almost there, too. Well, I'm like 30 that. Points away from Platinum 4,
yeah.
Which I'll probably hit tonight if I play after. So
yeah, but my main motivation to play solo ranked is because of the quit penalty. I want people to stay. You know, if someone goes down, I can come get you, or, you know. And People usually take it seriously. They're not going to go off by themselves and get themselves killed, which I don't know. I kind of like that everyone's more together in ranked. I have a lot more fun that way. Win, lose, I have more fun.
Yeah. So for me, it's a bittersweet. Like the bitter part is I don't want people. Sweet part is I want a quit penalty because I don't want people to quit, like you said. Mm-hmm. But the bitter part, I guess, for me is that being a dad, whenever it's during the times that I'm watching my kids and like I maybe put one down for a nap and I want to sit here and play a little Apex, I know I can go in the normal match. And if my kid cries, I can take off and just close out the game. So in a way, that way I know I'm not getting the penalty that I would get in rank. And I wouldn't, you know, I don't think that the penalty for leaving a normal match should go as far as what rank can do to you, because I don't think you should be kicked out of the game or like anything like that for quitting that much. I don't know what the overall penalty is for ranked. I know you get like 10 minutes the first time and then 10 minutes a couple of times, but I don't know if there's like they kick you out for good. I don't know, but
it's the first time I think it's 10 minutes and you lose double the RP cost of to enter a match of whatever it is.
Yeah. So I don't really think, you know, you should get anything that severe, you know, maybe like, a 2 or 3 minute ban or something like that, but definitely not something that would affect your game that much, you know. But I'm cool with a little bit of a quit penalty.
Yeah, and I'm an understanding guy. I can understand, like, I mean, if they implemented now, I think it'd be an absolute storm. People would lose their minds. But even though I'm generally supportive of having a quit penalty, you know, there's some people out there like you that are busy, or there's people who, you know, they only have an hour to play and they don't want to spend their time knocked down waiting for their teammate to respawn them, to revive them or whatever. So, you know, I can see why people would want to quit, or they're, you know, like their buddies came on and they're ready to play and they're just waiting on you and you quit out to go join them or whatever, you know? So,
Yeah, definitely. And so then, I guess with this, we'll actually close out, today's podcast. So I know that you all have sent in some questions that you would like to see on the future polls, and just know that Crazy and I are looking at that, and that, you know, and we will create poll sections to fit those questions. I know that one of the good ones we got was like, would you like to see Mirage's ship on Kings Canyon or Olympus? And we had another one, like, should we implement a damage system into rank so that you get more points from damage? You know, any kind of questions like that are great questions for us to ask the community. So we don't really want to ask them right here or answer them right here, because we want a chance to hear what the community got to say about it before we actually answer them ourselves. But just know we are definitely listening to what you've got to say about the show and everything like that, and just taking that in. And it's just going to make for better content with Ready Room, but not only better content there, but also better polls whenever we go to ask you questions. So with that, we would like to thank you for listening. We would like to thank you for your time on the polls, of course, like I said at the beginning, and we look forward to you to talking to you in Discord. You can follow the host on Twitter at Dropping Spicy, and basically you'll see any of our posts there about like when the podcast drops, when tournaments drop, when I got gameplay I put out on there. We have a bunch of stuff out there. We also retweet Apex a lot, so you'll definitely see us on there. You can also follow Mash Those Buttons on Twitter at the Mash Network. You can also catch the Dropping Spicy stream live every Tuesday on twitch.tv/MashThoseButtons. And then if you haven't done it yet, you should definitely go on to your Instagram and TikTok and follow Dropping Spicy there, as we are posting content weekly. And that is where you might see a video of your own gameplay if you submit it. And we love to show off the community and put out what all you can do and the amount of slayage and spiciness that you can drop with on your videos and shit like that. So, and then lastly, Spryfox, do you have any social media you like to put out, such as your gamer tag or where they can find you?
Yeah. So my gamer tag, Discord are both the same. It's Spryfox, one word, capital S, capital F. And I actually just got a Twitter today.
Nice.
Isn't that crazy? I never had Twitter before. I just got it today. You can find me on there. Spryfox, same spelling and everything on there. And I'm thinking about maybe streaming one of these days. I think that might be cool, but not, it's in the works. So, but if I do, then you guys will definitely find out about it, and you can watch me or join me and or both.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely go follow him. You know, if you want to talk to him, definitely just drop into our Discord. He's right there. You can talk to him there. I'm sure you just love to talk to whoever who wants to talk to you about Apex or even play with you. So definitely hit them up. You can find me at Mash_Geo in the game. And then if you really want to reach me, you can reach me by just messaging any of the social media networks for Dropping Spicy. I'm the guy that runs most of those. So just message me there, or you can just add me on Discord at Geo4574. And I'll talk to you there. I'm really open to it. So, or you can message droppingspicy_socialmedia@hotmail.com and I'll reply back to you there. I know we've had a couple of emails come through there. Lastly, you can join the Mash Those Buttons community on Discord again at mash.gg/Discord, where you can send us your Apex feedback and stories along with your questions. You can also share the show with others and rate and review on Apple Podcasts. But more than likely, the best place to go and find us is the MashThoseButtons.com website, where you can find and play the actual episode within the browser as you are on the website. It's actually very helpful, and it allows you to not have to go to many other places. And not only does it have Dropping Spicy, but it has all the other content as well. You can also become a Patreon at patreon.com/MashThoseButtons, where you can get content for as little as $1 a month or extra spicy content for $5 a month. You can then go to the Teespring store at teespring.com/stores/MashThoseButton to get some swag. And then please stay tuned after the show to hear about other shows on our network. And with that, me and Spryfox would like to say our goodbye. We'll see you again next week.
We'll see you guys. Thanks for listening. Take care.
See you later.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/Discord.